Blog Talk Radio.
You was popping, my niggas. Y'all know what it is, man. PSA motherfucking podcast. Salutations to all. Y'all already know what it is, man. Waiting for the bro to call up right quick. A lot of wild shit going on in hip-hop. People saying Illuminati talk. All kind of crazy shit. Russell Simmons, hip-hop mogul. Accused of assault, sexual assault. Brett Ratner's name is in fold. We're going to talk about it. Back on live, y'all already know what it is, man. PSA motherfucking podcast. We out here, man. Fam, what's good?
What's good, my G?
Shit, man, I can't call it, brother, man. Russell Simmons, my G, hip-hop mogul. Accused of sexual assault on a woman, I guess at the time she was 17 years old. And Mr. Ratner's name is also being in the fold also. What's your thoughts on this Russell Simmons shit, man?
Okay, so first of all, we're talking about two different things. And I think people are getting them mixed up. Why Russell will Russell why Russell Simmons had to say is because he had a sexual encounter with a woman by the name of Jenny Lamette, and she's the daughter of a very powerful, prominent Hollywood director. He knows her. She's 50 years old now, and she wrote in a Hollywood Reporter a letter to him detailing her entire experience. This is nothing that was alleged. This is all what happened based on her experience. He knew it was real talk, which is why he wrote a letter, you know, basically saying, I remember things differently, but I can, in hindsight, I can see that I traumatized you and put you under pressure in a way that I did not understand. So he, to me, the fact that he's quitting, that he's ceasing being the boss of all his companies and stepping down, clearly means that something happened that wasn't
right.
Kosher. Now, I've read her account. I've read the whole story. And
break it down
when
for
you
us.
Read it, it's like, well, he took her on a date, and she thought that he was giving her a ride home. He had a chauffeur. The chauffeur doesn't take her home. She's like, yo, let me off here. He tells the chauffeur no. She's like, yo, can you let me out? No. So basically, the chauffeur would not let her out and would not stop. So imagine you getting in the car and you think you're getting driven home and you're not getting driven home.
Right.
You get driven to Russell Simmons' house. So they end up going to Russell Simmons' house and they got on the elevator and basically he just forced himself on her. It was just that simple. And she went into detail how he forced himself on her. And she said she felt helpless. She felt like she had no choice but to give in because he was overpowering her. And she just said it haunted her. It haunted her. It happened in 1991, and she said she's been haunted by it since 1991. And she just decided to tell her story. So that
now,
was...
Are people going to give Russell, not only say benefit of the doubt, but because of his relationships, we could take it back to Kimora. I think at the time he was 30 and she was 17. Am I right on that? Somewhere in that age graphic. So when people look at that, are they going to equate this and try to put the puzzle together, in your opinion?
Well, Tyra Banks used to say, leave Kimora Lee alone. She's 16 years old. He started publicly dating her when she was 17. You know what I'm saying? He started publicly dating her when she was 17 years old. So, you know, he's known to like, let's be clear. Russell Simmons has been living the rock star life since the mid-80s.
Facts.
So
super
I think at this point, if there's a lot of women who want to come out and just talk about their sexual escapades, they can. The woman you were talking about where she got pushed in a hotel bathroom and then just like pulled her head down. She don't have clout like the woman who wrote this letter in the Hollywood Reporter. She has clout. That's why Russell Simmons had to come out and like acknowledge, oh, I know her, and you know he couldn't run from this one. You know what I'm
and
saying? So he just
by him stepping down, does that make him look real guilty?
It makes him look like something happened that should not have happened. And by his own admission, he put out a statement acknowledging it could have been handled differently, and he apologized. So when you put out a statement talking about you apologize, what are you apologizing for if it wasn't consensual? So that's what he did.
Wow. I'm at a loss for words, my nigga. So what happens now? Is she want to take this to trial or what is she?
No, she doesn't want to do nothing.
You know
nothing
I mean?
Happens now. Nothing happens now. Nothing happens now. She just wanted to tell her
she
story.
She just wanted to put it out. Right.
We're in the era where women are telling their stories now to a lot of powerful men who for a lot of years was getting away with a lot of bullshit. And she sees that, wow, people are being believed when they tell their story. So that's all she did. She just told her story. That's all she did. She's not looking out for no payout. This woman's rich. Her father is Sidney Lumet. There's no payday she's looking for. She's just telling her story. That's all. Women are coming forward telling their story, and they're being believed now. You know, that's all that's happening.
Listen,
you know,
you and I are men, so we don't know the mindset of a woman when she has to go through a sexual assault and to live with that since what 1991? You said right, fam?
Since 1991.
Right. So to have that in your subconscious, and then you might see the individual that did something to you, allegedly, and then you watch that person for years on TV or news articles and people praising this individual, and you're probably sitting there like, I know a side of this motherfucker that y'all don't know. And I wonder that eats at a woman sometimes. You know what I mean? If I could be the psychiatrist of a woman right now, I'm just trying to, you know what I mean?
I'm gonna say it differently. We acknowledge Russell Simmons has been popping. He's been popping because he's one of the most iconic figures in hip hop history. Like there's a Mount Rushmore icons in hip hop. Russell Simmons.
Mount Rushmore
is one.
Mount Rushmore hip hop moguls. Mount Rushmore.
Mogul is not doing justice. I call him a pioneer. I call him just everything you could call somebody. And he's been living this life since Madonna in Thriller. Remember, Russell was doing this in the early 80s. He founded Def Jam in the mid-80s, like in the early 80s, actually. So,
Rick Rubin.
This storyline is you see a lot of powerful white people. The thing is, it was a lot of powerful white men getting taken down. So a lot of people in the hip-hop community was acting like they ain't know nothing about nothing. I don't know who my Lau is.
Right.
I don't know who Charlie Vogt is. I don't know who Harvey Weinstein is. I know nothing. But now that it's Russell Simmons, oh, shit. Now, so now the hip-hop community has to pay attention. So I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at everybody's Twitter feed, their Facebook feed, and niggas got nothing to say. Everybody who covers hip-hop, who's made their living off of hip-hop, now y'all got nothing to say. Y'all talking about Jay-Z's interview by a white man in the New York Times. That was an interview about nothing. That's what y'all talking about. When today, this is what happened. It was trending on Twitter. So everybody outside of hip-hop is talking about this shit. What the rappers who cover hip-hop? Man, come on, hip-hop. Get in a dick today the way y'all acting.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question, fam. I agree with your sentiments. Why do you feel hip-hop, what's the word I'm looking for? People that cover hip-hop, cover this culture, they're not talking about it? Are they falling back? Or is it a touchy subject, you think, in their opinion, that are they on some shit like, I know Russell, or I don't want to say nothing to all the facts, so to speak, come out? You think so? That's why
ain't
some
no,
people...
Here's the thing. There ain't no facts. Russell Simmons stepped down from all his businesses. He did it. He apologized.
That's a red flag. That's a red flag, if anything, my nigga. That's a red flag, if anything.
He acknowledged that he did something wrong. You know what I'm saying? So the problem is Russell Simmons, like we said, he's arguably, for New York hip-hop, Russell might be the most iconic New York hip-hop person. He was here from the beginning. He watched all of it. He turned this into a damn near billion-dollar empire from one of the most iconic labels. Everybody who fucks with hip-hop who's popping off at one point had to touch through Russell Simmons. So, no, they don't want to say nothing. The man has enriched people's lives. He's made millions out of people. He's put so many people on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's done a lot of good. He's done a lot of good for the culture, a lot of good. So they don't know what to say. So I think they'd rather say, you know what, I'd rather say nothing at all. You know, it's why somebody like R. Kelly could thrive as a predator for young women his entire career,
yeah.
And every rapper will say, I don't give a fuck, I'm still going to do a song with you. I'm still going to collab with you. It's why R. Kelly could just do this shit forever. All you niggas knew he was peeing on high school girls, and y'all didn't say a fucking
right.
word. This shit was all on the streets. We watched it. We all knew this. Sparkle, she said, yo, the niggas sleeping with my teenage
yeah.
cousin. And nobody
yeah.
in
yeah.
hip-hop gave a fuck. So, you know, the hip-hop community.
I don't know. I don't know, fam. Hold on. I know you're going in. I don't think we should jump out the window and say that hip-hop didn't give a fuck. You really think hip-hop didn't give a fuck or certain people
didn't
give a
fuck? Hip-hop did not give a fuck. It's not certain people. It's hip-hop. Nothing stopped with R. Kelly. Nothing stopped. This motherfucker was doing songs with Beans. He was doing songs with Nick Cannon. He was doing songs with any and everybody in the industry. When we knew the nigga had P tapes on little girls, when we knew the nigga married Aaliyah when she was 14 years old, and he trolled us coming out with an album called AJ Nothing But a Number. So what I'm saying is just from the hip hop, I love hip hop. I love the culture. From what I see, we turn a blind eye to predator motherfuckers forever. We turn a blind eye to the shit. And that's why I'm looking at everybody's timeline and nobody got nothing to say. Niggas
right.
putting links up to some fucking interview in Time to like the Grammys.
Let me ask you a question. Terry Crews. What do you think about Terry Crews' comments on Russell Simmons a while ago?
I didn't hear it. Could you tell me what he said?
Well, he said something about, I was reading something tonight about Terry Crews saying Russell Simmons, something about he's seen Russell Simmons do some shit. I don't want to get into it, you know, they both of us on the story. I don't, but just some shit about Terry Crews. Comment, boys, y'all probably know what I'm talking about, but I didn't get to read the whole article. I just thought my brother might have read it and shit. So
well,
what happens now, Russell,
somebody,
my nigga? Okay, you said about Terry Crews, go ahead, I apologize.
No. The thing about Terry Crews is one of the guys who came out and said Hollywood actors try to grab my shit, grab my private parts.
Right.
He talked about it. Like, because, you know, everybody's thinking it's just women. He was like, look me, I'm a big, strong football player. And they still try to sexually violate me. Because these guys have position of power, and whether you're a man or a woman, they like, yo, you want this, and they think they can take liberties. And he said, that even happened to me. So he told his story. So back to Russell. You said what happens to Russell now? I'm gonna say Russell stepped up to the plate. He acknowledged what this woman wrote, and she wrote an eloquent letter to him. She said, "I'm a woman of color. I'm conflicted because I'm coming out against a man of color who's done so much good." But she was like, "Look, I'm gonna tell my story," and Russell. You know, to his credit, he took responsibility. But let's be real. When HBO saw that, HBO immediately distanced themselves from them. You see, this is not, we're waiting for facts, we need to wait. They didn't do that. There's nothing to wait for. You know what I'm saying? This woman told an experience that she had that Russell acknowledged. He said he just remembers it differently. There you have it. So the first thing we saw is HBO, you know, cut him off. And we don't know what other here's what I will tell you. I don't believe the hip-hop community is going to turn their back on him. I believe he's done too much and affected too many people's lives in hip-hop. So
I agree with that.
I think people on the low will support him 1,000%. But publicly, they'll be politically correct. That's what I truly
agree. I totally agree with that assessment. 100% agree with that assessment and shit. Before we wrap it up, I want to get your opinion on the Grammys, man. Seen Q-Tip and all these other niggas in the uproar. Our tribe should have got a nominee. And when did we start giving a fuck about the Grammys? I thought we was boycotting the Grammys about a year ago.
So here's the thing that's so fascinating about this love of the Grammys. Mm-hmm. Anytime we talk about our favorite albums, right? Anytime we talk about our favorite albums, the Grammys don't even, they probably never heard of these albums. Me and you always talk about Cuban Links. We talk about the Infamous. You know, we talk about these albums. The Grammys never nominated them. If you base hip hop on what the Grammys have nominated, you would think they're living in an alternative reality. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hip hop has thrived without anything from the Grammys. It has thrived. Hip hop has thrived never being on Oprah Winfrey's couch when Oprah Winfrey was the number one talk show.
I don't mean to intervene,
in
Sean. I don't mean to intervene what you're saying, but you're absolutely right. I wish what you're saying right now that the rappers would say that. But then again, it's different because we're hip hop fans. So as an artist, obviously you're gonna feel, listen, I spent so much time with this music, and then. What do you think about Q-Tip name-dropping Ninth Wonder?
I love it. I love that he did that because I know you're a big Ninth Wonder fan. This is a perfect example is when you think you're playing the game with white people who don't know anything about the culture and you're going to get rewarded. Usually the Grammys always rewards alternative or shit that people who pay dues and just been in the game for a long, long time. Then they'll just start giving them all the awards to make up for the past. And Q-Tip played that game. Q-Tip came out an album that was critically acclaimed. Elliot Wilson, Rob Marksman, all the hip-hop blogs were like, Tribe Quest album is so good. Here's the listening party. I saw the rollout. There was this big rollout for Tribe Quest, and everybody celebrating this shit. And I'm like, okay. Now, me personally, did I get it? No. But that doesn't have anything to do with how the media embraced it and celebrated it, right? So Q-Tip was under the assumption that, yeah, the right people liking it, it's getting into Complex and Variety and all these non-hip-hop forums that are covering hip-hop. So he's thinking, man, he was shocked when they acknowledged him.
And I don't know why he was shocked, Q-Tip.
To be politicking. I'm telling you why he's shocked and why he's calling out nice. I think he politicked with the people that he thought he rubbed shoulders with.
Behind the scenes, I agree.
And I think he rubbed shoulders with those people, had connections to them. They was like, oh, we're Tribe Quest fans. Oh, my kids love you. I remember when you did your song with Janet Jackson. You remember when Q-Tip was walking that fine line where he was damn near doing some Andre 3000 type of shit? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we talked about that before on Tribe Appreciation. Yep.
Right. So he really is shocked that they just egged him like this. And now you're talking this? Eminem said, you think I give a fuck about a Grammy? Half of you critics can't even stomach me, let alone stand me. And he was telling the truth. When Eminem came out, they hated him. This misogyny, this attack on gays, he says fat. Oh, my God.
About his moms.
That was the worst thing they ever heard. They couldn't believe it. Eminem dissed the shit out of the Grammys. He dissed the shit out of Britney Spears, New Kids on the Block. Everything that was pop music, he dissed it on some straight-up hip-hop shit. That's what the hip-hop would do. You know what the Grammys did? They praised him. They sucked Eminem's dick and gave him all the Grammys.
I would say this. Q-Tip, and this guy, I'm not trying to speak for me and my brother here, but we're both fuck with Tribe. We came up under Tribe. Q-Tip, you don't need a Grammy, well, maybe for yourself, for your accolades, but for hip-hop nerds like my hip-hop historians, guys, we acknowledge Tribe Called Quest. We know the greatness of Tribe Called Quest. Like, for us fans, Q-Tip, I don't think you need a Grammy to solidify your spot in hip-hop history. I think it's solidified. I mean, like I said, as an artist, you want that trophy, so I get it. It's different than how I would feel compared to him.
Let me ask you something. When Ready to Die did not get a Grammy, but it got a Source Awards, were you happy that Biggie won the Source Award?
Yes.
It meant something. It meant something to me, too. I was really into it. I did not give a fuck about the Grammy. The only person who won Grammys and I cared about it was when Michael Jackson won those Grammys. Like, that mattered to me.
83, 84, I agree.
Yeah, and to me, I really like that. I will also tell you, when Lauryn Hill won those Grammys, I
five Grammys.
That
was dope. 98.
No, like I thought that was dope. But in terms of hip hop validation on what is
right.
a classic album, let's be very clear. When we do our DMX appreciation, in 1999, Jay-Z boycotted the Grammys. And the Grammys said, Jay-Z, why are you boycotting us? He said, because you did not acknowledge DMX. They did not nominate him. So think about this. In 1998, when the Grammys put out their awards in 1999, they did not acknowledge the existence of DMX. Jay-Z himself, who was on tour with him, had to be like, I can't show up to y'all. I'm boycotting y'all. Like, fuck the Grammys, man. And to see rappers now, like, try to be like, I ain't shit if I don't got a Grammy nomination. Or I don't want to say it. We never judged you from a – we've never judged hip-hop artists on Grammy nominations.
That's what I'm saying, though. We're looking at the lenses of fans. Now, if me and you are artists, PSA Records, and we got an album coming out, and we've been doing music for how long, and me and you have a conversation with Mike Wonder, and they telling us, yo, Dre, Sean, y'all, da-da-da-da, like you said a second ago, yeah, when you was my son used to listen to you, da da da, all that bullshit. You feel like you're gonna get a Grammy. Now here's another thing: Jay-Z's gonna be at the Grammys. Do you think Jay-Z had the conversation? Because I've heard people say Beyonce and certain artists tell these motherfuckers, "I'm not coming to your award show unless you're telling me I'm winning an award." Do you believe that happens in the music business?
Absolutely. I absolutely believe when you have power, you leverage your power. Let me be very clear. If Jay-Z shows up to the Grammys, he does not leave with any less, with nothing less than three minimum. He's nominated for eight,
right.
So he leads Grammy nominations. Jay-Z is not leaving the Grammys without three guaranteed. I know this. I mean, if he's nominated for eight, I mean, he doesn't even have to win 50%
right.
to get three. So Jay-Z's going to win some Grammys. That's fact. Now, is he going to win the Grammys for the categories that he wants to win? Album of the year. That's not the hip-hop award. That's just album of the year. Is he going to win that? Is he going to win hip-hop album of the year? You know, it's going to be him and Kendrick. See, this is the way it gets real crazy because...
And Bruno Mars.
I'm talking about the hip-hop side, from the hip-hop side.
Okay.
Because Jay-Z has eight nominations. So when it comes strictly to the hip-hop side, Jay-Z is going to be competing against Kendrick. And it's curious to see now, where now the Grammys are now going to basically, are they now dictating hip-hop culture to us and telling us what is what? So they're going to tell us, well, no, we're going to give Jay-Z hip-hop album of the year, and Kendrick, you did nothing. We just nominate you because we've already paid you back for when we snubbed you when we gave it to Macklemore. You see, I don't like the Grammys. I don't like anything the Grammys represent.
Too much
remember,
politics and bullshit.
Remember when the Grammys gave Macklemore? Remember when Macklemore won the Grammys and he had to apologize? Because then
I didn't like that. That was whack. Kendrick did not even like that shit. Kendrick didn't even like the fact that he had apologized. Kendrick was like, yo, my man, save your apology. Like, what are you apologizing for? You know what I'm saying? I didn't like that apology shit at all, fam.
But here's the thing. The reason why he apologized because he understood the politics and how pathetic it was. He probably knew these Grammy people didn't even know who Kendrick was. So that's why, if you notice, Kendrick did not come out with an album the following year, and they gave him the Grammy. Like, that's how fucked up the Grammys are. These motherfuckers don't know hip-hop. This ain't about this. The first 10 years of hip-hop, they did not acknowledge the existence. So when me and you talk about Kane, Rakim, Slick Rick, do you know there was no award for hip-hop? As far as they was concerned, there was no such genre of music called hip-hop. And the era me and you loved so much. So I don't fuck with the Grammys, man. Now, I'm going to ask you. Jay-Z's nominated for eight Grammys. Tell me, do you think it would be great if Jay-Z, when he gets up there, he comments, because he's going to win some, but he makes a comment on how they judge hip-hop. Do you think he should do that, or do you think he should just go up there and just be happy and say, Brooklyn, we did it? You think he should do one of the moves?
I just think he should be Brooklyn, we did it, and you know, keep it classy. Over an adult here. He's a grown, mature man in hip-hop. But I do believe that Jay had them conversations like, yo, my niggas, I need to know ahead of time doing this. Well, how many am I getting? And what am I getting? I think he knows already. He's not going to be shocked. He's not going to do Macaulay Culkin Home Alone slap to the face like, oh, shit. Sean, you were right. I was going to win three Grammys. No, nigga, we knew he was going to win three Grammys. What the fuck are you talking about, Hov? Like, that's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? What do you think you should do, though?
I don't know what hope.
This way gets sketchy, right? This way gets dicey.
I'll tell you why. Jay-Z said the biggest issue facing America is not racism, it's sexism. He said that last week. Mm. A couple of years ago, they asked him about music, and he said there's no such thing as black music or white music. It's only good music. So Jay-Z has a different perspective on things. So I'm not sure you want to hear him off the cuff. You know what I'm saying? You might just want him to stick to the script, play his political game. You know you're getting your three, and you get up there and say, Brooklyn, we did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because if you start talking, you're going to rear off and say some strange things. Because I listened to a 35-minute interview that he gave a white writer from the New York Times who knew nothing about hip-hop. And Jay-Z was saying,
Does that bother you? Does that bother you the way it bothers me that,
you know what,
like, certain niggas be getting interviews, and I'm like,
Because, Jay-Z, interview a nigga who at least knows who you are, man, and doesn't know who you are because Oprah put you on her couch or because you're married to Beyonce, but they know who you are because you turned the league out with a reasonable doubt.
I got to pop my collars here, man. I got to be this guy. I'm sorry, y'all. Common boys, pardon me, man. Jay-Z, I don't think me and my man right here, we give the best Jay-Z interview ever. Give us a week in advance. We will have the greatest interview ever with Jay-Z. I just got to throw that out there because I be seeing these rap artists sometimes, fam, be doing interviews, and I be salty sometimes. I be like, man, nigga, you even know this thing is music like that, bro? That should be going through my mind and shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm there hating and shit, got the banana in my mouth, but it's society style.
But here's the thing, they don't. Because I remember a couple of years ago, Jay-Z did an interview with Charlie Rose. And he started yes. quoting, like, Biggie lyrics. Charlie Rose had no idea why he was quoting Biggie lyrics. Like, they gave Charlie Rose prepared state questions to ask him. So he says, one thing I'm reading is that you were close to Notorious B.I.G. What made B.I.G. great? And then Holmes started rapping Juicy to him. And Charlie Rose just sat there like, I have no fucking idea what you're doing right now. And ho, you can give these interviews to these motherfuckers. I mean, did you listen to that interview that he got up with the New York Times? It's 35 minutes.
No, I haven't listened to it yet. I have not listened to it yet.
Oh, my God. See, power, money, power, respect. Ho got the money. He got the power. So when he be
power and respect,
they'll be in awe of him because they're looking at him like,
they mesmerize. They mesmerize and shit. They know he's a drug dealer. They know he's a former drug dealer and how he got out the slums and made it to where he is now.
And to them, that blows their mind. They're just like in awe of him. They're just like, wow. Like, I know nothing about your music, but jeez. Like, I know where you're at now. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I just think in terms of the Grammys that hip-hop, can't be. I mean, come on, give it your dad trying to win a Grammy. Like, are you kidding me? Like, come on. Like, think about that. Like,
yeah,
put that in
jerk. 50 should have. Yo, my nigga, on some G shit. I forgot who won that year because 50 should have won that year, my nigga. They don't even give a fuck who you niggas had against him. That was a fucking. That was some bullshit.
They gave Usher best hip hop song for Yeah. Remember the song with Ludacris? Say Yeah, yeah. That was nominated in the hip hop category. And they gave it to Usher. You know what I'm saying?
That should not be in the hip-hop category. That should not be in the hip-hop category at all.
Now, wait, and they did something else. They gave it to Outkast and Best Rap Album over 50.
Right.
Because, you know, they like Outkast. You know, but I'm just saying, the point is, Grammys, man, they always get it wrong. And I'm telling you right now, Jay-Z's getting no less than three. And I just want to know, Jay, are you going to say something to these motherfuckers?
I don't think he might. Well, listen, Jay, I think Jay's going to say something. He might say something. He's going to throw a few little jabs there. It's going to be a few little, you know, jabs to the girl right quick, in his opinion. You know what I mean? So that's just what it is, man. Grammy talk. Take us home, my G.
Pissed Podcast. Home of the battle rap interview from three. PSA
yes.
Podcast, home of the hip hop historians. The hip hop historians.
Right.
Hip hop appreciations. NBA talk. You never gonna get NBA
Facts.
Talk anywhere than you get here. This is real
yeah.
NBA talk. So PSA Podcast, my peoples.
That's what it is, my brother. Easy. That's what it is, man. Now, December 9th, Smack Volume 1, small room setting. I chopped it up with Av, chopped it up with a couple other niggas and shit. Then you all, I see what you're doing out here. Like I said earlier, early in the week, I'm really fucking with the small room settings, man. Some of my favorite battles have come from small room settings. There's a particular battle that got announced a couple of days ago. I see some people like, I don't know how I feel about this. I would say I did the same thing to JC and T-Top, and that wasn't a bad battle, to be honest. One individual, Mr. Shotgun Shook, he has battled in small room settings, but that was a long time ago. That's when Smack had, he didn't have a goddamn bed at the time. And his opponent, a guy who I respect and I fucks with heavy, man. Let me get my guy in here, man. Mike P, what's good, my G?
Tree, my man, what's good, bro?
How you, family?
I'm feeling great, man. I'm feeling great. How about you?
I'm doing good, brother. Talk to me, Mike. What we doing? You and Shook, my nigga. Talk to me, man. Yeah,
yo,
let's talk about
good,
this, Mike.
Don't it?
What's poppin'?
That's it. This whole shit sounds good, don't it?
It does sound good.
You know?
It does sound good.
Okay.
How are you feeling,
know.
Though? Because are you... Small room settings, man. You made your way to Irving Plaza. You made your way to the big stage.
Yeah.
Do you feel like how's the writing process going into a small room battle compared to a Irving Plaza for you?
Well, you gotta understand it's been a really long small rooms. I've noticed that the culture tends to, you know, they tend to look at Born Legacy as small rooms. Those are not small rooms. Those are medium rooms. You know what I mean? Those
right.
are not small rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So the last small room I did was Tape Deck in iBattle. And then before that, you know what I mean, it was 10 other small rooms. As far as this one goes, this is different because not only is it a small room, you know, it's kind of an attempt at bringing this euphoric feeling to the culture and bringing back that vibe of just, you know, rapping with no reaction, you know, a couple ums, couple ahs, and that's it. This is the first time in a while I have 100% freedom to do whatever I want to. So the writing process is completely different. I'm just rapping.
No,
that's
Mike,
all, that's
when
all
you say freedom, can you elaborate when you said the word freedom, Mike? Elaborate for the people right
yeah.
quick when you say freedom.
Yeah, of course. When I say freedom, I had a more freer pen, a freer mind before I got on URL, and it's not a shot to URL, but back then it wasn't really important as far as the steps I was taking. So it was really just freedom to, you know, explore what I'm capable of, you know, just kind of enjoy the lyricism, watching my mind progress, watching the skill, you know, level go up. But when URL came around, it got to a point where it started having to be things where, you know, I got to do this in the first round because I think this is going to work, guy. And then let's try to do a video game bar thing here, and let's try to do a haymaker here, and let's you know, make sure to wrap it up
right.
with a little over here. And it became a very kind of frustrating thing where it was like it wasn't
strenuous.
Really what can I, it really wasn't as much as like what can I come up with. It was as much as like what can I come up with to move on in URL to land a haymaker on a Born Legacy stage, to beat Daylight
right.
on his you know what I mean. There are storylines behind every preparation. So for Shotgun Shug, the only thing that I'm here to do is rap and be heard. So thinking of haymakers are out of the question, even though I might land haymakers. You know what, you get what I'm saying?
Right.
None of that none of that is in the back of my head during this writing process. I'm here to play with words. I am here to double entendre. I am here to punch. I am here to, you know, switch it up. I'm here to do everything. I'm here to do everything. And if that environment is exactly what people are saying it is, and people are actually going to take it real serious, because I'm kind of calling bluff before the event even happens.
Why are you calling bluff, though, Mike? What you doing, Mike? Why are you calling bluff,
man? I feel like I'm going to hear a lot of URLTV.TV in there. I don't know how many of them on that card you think is really going to take it back. I'm there to rap like it is smack. I am here for a smack battle. Next week, I'm there for a smack battle. I'm not here to do my normal routine. If you're telling me it needs to come back to the essence and you're telling me you want to get that vibe back and get that feel, I'm going to do that. I don't know how many people can do. I don't know if Rum Nitty's just going to get up there and be Rum Nitty. That's URL Rum Nitty.
Yeah,
you got a point. That's URL. You know what I'm saying? How many people are going to be you smack? I'm gonna try my hand. I'm gonna give it a shot. And I got nothing to lose. This is the one where you have nothing else to do but listen to me rap.
Mike, does this separate the men from the boys? This whole card with all you guys on there?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, besides the first one, this is unprecedented for this era of battle rap. But like I said, if it's what it's supposed to be, is it really going to be smack in there? Is the crowd going to feel that smack crowd? Or are they going to be people in there that are going, oh! Are they going to be people grabbing shirts and all that shit, which is fun, but that is not what I'm there for. I am not there to stop after a bar. I'm not there for that. I'm there for rap. I'm going to wrap circles around Suge. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do.
Do you think the culture needs this right now? I think battle rap needs this, though.
Thriving. I don't think it necessarily needed to happen
right.
to somehow, you know, get us up from this slump. I think 2017... as far as accomplishments, this is one of the best years in battle rap. So I think it's a beautiful ending to the year to do something so new and yet so old at the same time. But that's not how you think of it when you hear it.
Right.
You know what I mean? This year has been amazing.
But Mike, what makes you say this year, in your opinion, was a great year for battle rap? In your opinion, why do you feel that way as a battle rapper?
You know, a lot of people, when they look back at some of the best years in battle rap, or they'll say this year is the best year in battle rap, they'll think of the battles. Like, oh, 2012 was a great year because, you know, you had Lux versus Cal, you had, you know, this versus this, you had Verb versus Hitman. For 2017, if I look at a great year, I'm not only looking at the battles, I'm looking at what has happened through, right? So take Tay-Rock. Tay-Rock in 2017 is an amazing story. Tay-Rock, you know, he's been grinding for as long as he's been grinding for as long as he's been, and everyone's been watching his story unfold, and we literally just got to see him step into greatness by the end of the year. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tay-Rock really, you know, nobody was having like goat talks, you know what I mean, at the beginning of the year. Tay-Rock's always been Tay-Rock, but I think that's a great part of 2017, watching Tay-Rock, you know, take on Howl the Don, battle Disaster on Traffic 3, you know, get all this recognition and, you know, do the Hot 97 freestyle. I think that's a big thing.
Right.
The Hot 97 this year as well. Loaded Lux shutting that down. Loaded Lux and Arsenal. Arsenal's last battle. Great way. Great moment in 2017. Disaster versus Oxymiron. Great moment in 2017. Ruin Your Day with Watch Battle Live. The Birth of Champion.
Yeah.
Great year. A really, really good year for 2017, and I feel like people just need to, you know, lighten up. Shit is getting real good out here, and I think we need more fan involvement. You know what I mean? Lower the trolling down. You know, let's get real. Let's keep this popping, man. And Smack Volume 1 is like the icing on the fucking cake. I hope it is. I hope it is.
Right.
But you know, just that concept alone is great. It's amazing.
Let me ask you. Remember JC and Chilla Jones? Do you think it's going to be that kind of setting or no? Where you see Mickey Fax, Mook, John, Jazz, all standing there? Or is it just the focus on you and Shug? You know what I mean?
To be honest, I don't know, but I really hope it is. I hope it's very I hope it's very tight in there. Pause. You know what I'm saying? I hope it's a really small. I hope it's a really really small venue. That's all I hope. I don't want to walk in there and not be able to see the end of it, or you know what I mean? Like I want that shit to be really really small venue. What I'm hoping. I'm hoping to walk into a fucking cage. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I want that surrounding, that you know, that trap house feel, that We Go Hard type thing, type shit, where it's just, you know, really small room, but just, you know, keeping it that 05, that 06 vibe, keeping it that Smack DVD vibe. I'm looking forward to playing my part as a rapper and as a watcher. Watching battles, I want to know what that feels like. It's probably going to be a really dope feeling, because if everyone gets on their Smack shit, it's going to work beautifully, and it's going to show people that, you know, that shit could still rock nowadays.
How much percentage you giving in this setting on guys that's performance heavy? Maybe like a Briz who depends on energy, or K Shine, who Mike, you and I both know is performance heavy. Guys like, or even Shug. Pocket Check or shit like he, like his energy, like I don't think guys who have a lot of high energy have to really be careful. Like you really have to really concentrate on writing your bars. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, this is where I was getting to with calling my bluff. I don't know how many people on that card know that there's, you know, you're going to be naked out there for the most part. You're stripped of, you know, your performance for a certain extent.
Your homies behind you, Mike. Your entourage.
Performance still works. You know what I mean? In a small room, but it's cut down. You're stripped of an audience. You're stripped of people in a crowd that might have came to see you, that might react to a bar louder and get that bar sounding like it was hotter. Or you're not in a crowd where people don't like you, or they think that the guy's already going to win before the battle starts. Like we're all in front of rappers. This is going to be like, it's going to be dope. It's going to be like, it's going to be good, man. I think there's going to be a lot of testosterone in the building as far as like, you know, from what I know, there's going to be a lot of rappers in there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like rappers trying to, you know, rap in front of other rappers. It's a good situation because you impress the rappers. It's, you know what I mean? You know you did something right.
Right. People will say you're lyrically more inclined than Shug. And I've even had a conversation with Slave on the show a couple of days ago. And he automatically say, I got Mike being Shug. I'm a Shug fan. I rock with his music. And I rock with his battle rap for years. But
yeah,
I got you winning, though. I just think in this setting, and Shug, don't kill me, my nigga. I'm going to tell you this when you come on the show, too, brother. I just got Mike P winning. Yeah. This kind of setting, I got Mike P winning.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, obviously I've never been the type that I don't like not being the underdog. I don't like the majority saying I'm going to win a battle before it happens. So, you know,
is that pressure?
From what I'm about to say, I think on paper, I say all that cuz I say I'm never going to underestimate my opponent. Right. So even if I'm looking at this situation and saying, if this is what it's supposed to be and this is the environment that we are rapping in, Shug is in a very, very dangerous situation, because that pushing, that shoving, that pocket checking, all that might fall on deaf ears if we're all here to hear some rap. If we're here to rap, and trust me, I'm not saying this like I don't have my shit down. I am rapping. I'm not playing with him. I'm not planning on stopping. I'm not planning on doing nothing. So, you know, he, I don't know how much that shock value is going to work for him. And then I don't know if he decides to pick a pen up and tries to out-rap me. I think that's going to be I think it's gonna be bad. I think it might be bad, especially now. Because I'm not writing. This is my free writing. Like, this shit is not, you know, this is some serious rap. It's not, you know, playing games and trying to make words match and trying to sound
right.
like a video game character. I'm here to impress some people. I'm writing to impress, and I haven't done that in a while because I've been writing to advance. And now
wow.
this is a win-win situation for me. I have nothing to lose in just completely going, you know, lyrical, or, you know what I mean? Something like that. Don't get me wrong. I'm still going to be me at the end of the day. I have my habits. I have a certain style that I go to, but this is just, and it's crazy.
Mike,
next week. Time to do, man.
You made a comment saying writing to advance a second ago. So I guess when you say writing to advance to get the bigger battles for your career, to make that resume look stellar, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, you write, well, I mean, I wouldn't say you, but like speaking for other people, but I write to be remembered. You know what I mean? And I'm going to do that for this battle, of course. I'm always going to have that goal. So as far as advancing, that's what you have to do to advance. So the fact that, you know, for the last, man, I mean, this Suge is my seventh battle, I think, on URL. So for my six battles prior, it's always been, you know, what can I do to get here? Or what can I do to do this? Or what can I get to make the crowd go, awesome. But it's not like that this time. It's just, you know, head down. Can you do with words? I'm just taking words and just fucking, I'm just whipping them around. You know what I mean? And then I'm,
right.
You know, and I got a few tricks up the sleeve too. So it's gonna get cool in there, man. I hope so. Obviously, you know what I mean. I always have a good sense of, you know, writing and knowing what it's gonna do. You know what I mean? Knowing that it's good material or solid material. But yeah, man, if it does what it's supposed to do, it's gonna be dope shit. It's gonna be dope shit.
How far are you into the material?
I got a round left.
Damn,
got a round
damn,
left,
right,
so,
right.
So I got a round left, so I'm actually way ahead of time. I usually tend to finish like a day before. And when I actually try
damn,
to
day before, Mike. Damn.
Yeah. I'm way ahead of time. Way ahead of time. When I finally decide to start writing, usually takes maybe like a day or two, maybe 3 days to put, you know, a full round together, and then it's just constant cycle. Shit like that.
Let me get your opinion on some of these battles, man. Old Red against an individual that, before we go into this matchup here, man, what's up with you and Briz Raw, Steve? Is this gonna happen? I love the Twitter wars. I love that shit,
man.
Mike. A nigga, you know, the guys like us who do shows, we love this shit.
I love Briz, man. Briz is a cool dude, but that'll be up to him in the future. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna pull a YK and always bring him up. I think every time I ever brought him up, it's been a joke. You know what I mean? I troll about, you know, him ducking me or shit like that. But I know at the end of the day, it's business. He doesn't see me as, you know, personal gain for his career. So when he does, I'll be around. I'm not shooting for him, but I'll always fuck with him. You know, because I do have reason. I do have reason to do that. I do have reason to claim that he ducked, because he literally, you know, he did duck me. During the demon battle, you could see him accusing me of stealing his shit. And then in the interview that day on Rap Grid, he said that people were stealing his style. He ain't gonna say no names, da da da. And then I called him out, and he never, you know what I mean. So he literally ducked, unlike, you know, the dumb shit that people, you know, create out of thin air with me. I don't duck people, because I get it.
Well, Mike, you can't say that, no, my guy. But this one, we gotta pump the brakes on, my G. No, some people say, right, Briz ducking you, but then they say you ducking YK. So how did that work, my brother?
Of course. Well, I would answer that with a question. Where did that start? Where did it start? The thing with YK, here's the thing with YK. YK okay. creates this. I never, ever thought of YK ever in my career. I never called him out. I never said he was whack. I never said I wanted to battle him. I never said I wanted to do anything. And I'll repeat this story once again because nobody wants to hear the true story. Everybody just wants to keep saying I ducked, keep saying it. And I get it. It's the internet. It's the internet. There's no stopping the internet. You don't explain the truth to the internet, and then the internet's like, okay, we'll just stop. So the only reason why this came about, all this happened, is that P hit me up from the War Report after I had battled Daylight, and he was like, we're thinking of your next opponent. I was at a restaurant waiting for a table. And he said, we're thinking Young Cannon. Before P had hit me up, I had talked to Beasley, and Beasley was like, listen, we're going to work on getting you on Gnome, right? So I told P, you know, let me sit on it for a little while. I'll hit you back. I hung up the phone. I thought about it for 30 seconds. And the conclusion that I came up with was, I don't want to battle on Born Legacy. I want a known battle, and I want to prepare for that. So I hit P back up. After a minute, I said, nah, I'm good. I'll pass on Born Legacy. It had nothing to do with YK. 5 minutes later, YK makes that first tweet and just simply says, I would have been on Born Legacy, but Mike P ducked me. That is, three, the only reason why anybody – is talking about Mike P and YK. I never, ever, ever wanted to battle him. I never wanted to battle him.
Yeah, he wants to battle you, like, though, Mike. You should take that. Well, Mike, you take that as, like, a compliment as a guy that's, but Mike, a guy that's been there for a long time, well respected,
yeah,
has a great win loss resume, Mike.
It's not a compliment, and I'll tell you why. It's not a compliment, and I'll tell you why. Another thing people don't know, before this happened, right? I had never interacted with Young Cannon ever on social media. I never met him, right? So when I was in the Unbiases and I was in the Angry Fan groups on Facebook, you know, trolls, you know, they'd put a post about me. What do you think of Mike P? Da-da-da. And while I'd be scrolling through the comments, I'd randomly see Pedro, Young Cannon, Mendoza, and he would be like, you know, I would think he was nice if he didn't get punched in the face in that battle. Ha, 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 ha. And I was like, I would look at him and be like, why the fuck is Young Cannon saying that? Like, that's weird. And then I'd go on another post that had to do with me. And he's talking shit about me again. And he's talking shit about me again. He mentioned me like 5 times on social media. And I never even said anything because in the back of my head, I thought, okay, the only reason why this dude is talking to me, he must want to battle me. He must just want to battle. Maybe URL hit him up, said, who do you think? He said Mike P, and they said to work on it. And he became obsessed was trying to battle me, right? And still, to this day, he's not even being a man about it. He still caters to the trolls and the cornballs and constantly says that I'm ducking him. Bro, I go on his Twitter sometimes as a joke to see if, like, a couple days went by where he didn't mention me, and I'll just scroll on his shit, and somewhere on his Twitter feed, he's fucking yapping about me and tweeting me. So then I think that's so corny. So when the fans turn around and go, why won't you battle Young Cannon? I say, because he's a fucking cornball.
Oh, God, Mike. Let me ask you a question. If he didn't entertain the trolls and didn't make certain posts, would it be easier for you to battle him, but that pissed you off a little bit?
No.
That just turned you off, pause? Like, I ain't fucking with it.
This is where it comes to. Every battle is very important. Even if they aren't important, it comes down to it's my career. It's my career. I'm not going to take a battle because people think I should do it. If that's the case, let me call out Loaded Lux tonight. Are y'all going to back me? Y'all going to back me? Are y'all going to at Loaded Lux and say that Lux is ducking me? So then when Lux goes, what are you guys talking about? I would never battle Mike P in my life. And someone goes, well, Mike P said you should battle. I'm not comparing myself to Lux. I'm just saying, like, say, do that with anybody. You know what I mean?
Mike, isn't there a part of you as a competitive nature in you? Like, yo,
absolutely
I want to
not.
Shut this shit up. No.
Absolutely not, because two reasons. One, I have a career ahead of me. And two, I think if we battle, I'll fuck him up. I think I'll fuck YK up. If you line up,
I think the storyline is so good though, Mike.
It's
again.
Juicy. It's great, isn't it? It's great, isn't it? So
it is. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Listen, like I said, bro, yo, my mentality changes every single day. I might, after Shotgun Shug, I might battle him. You know what I mean? Like anything could happen. Because obviously at this point, it's like, all right, I'm basically forced. Sometime in my career, I have to battle this motherfucker. He's probably been writing for me for like a fucking year. But like, I get it. But like, right. Chill. Let me do my thing. I'm trying to do something here. Young Cannon is not in the picture. Let me do what I'm trying to do for my life, not just for Mike T.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to make life moves. I'm trying to, you know what I mean? And YK is just not, it's not even a thought. It's not even thought. You know what I mean? At some point, URL offered me DNA once. I think DNA would get me more views. I think DNA is a more popular rapper, but I said no to it. Does that mean I'm scared of him? It's just no. Even if he's a bigger, you know, look than Young Cannon, I don't feel like.
But you know what's funny though? I think DNA will give you the views, but I think a better battle will be better with you and YK. Like, I think y'all will give us a better battle than DNA. Like, it's a better matchup.
I think if and when me and Young Cannon actually go down, I think it would be a really good battle. You know, despite the followers that think that he would just smoke me, which is funny because I've literally never been smoked. But somehow there's always somebody out there that's going to smoke my boots. as far as he's concerned, I would be his toughest competition in a couple years. If you line up the last five people I've battled,
Danny Myers was
battled
Danny
he
Myers.
Really had not, I thought Danny Myers beat him. You know, between Moneybags and Jack Boy and Steams and a couple other people, I like those dudes. I have respect for those dudes, but that's not my level of comp that I've been getting. Daylight that rapped the way he rapped. That's not an Av. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Av. Young Cannon's hasn't had an Av rapper in a while. Shotgun Shug, Tink the Demon
YK over Tink though. I got YK over Tink though, my nigga. I gotta keep it tall though.
Yeah, I mean,
Mike.
At the end of the day,
and YK's win loss percentage wise is impeccable.
Even if it's taken wrong, at the end of the day, like the only thing I can do is keep it tall. Like that's the only thing I'm trying to do. I'm never trying to sway people in my direction. I'm never trying to convince somebody like, hey, you should believe what I'm telling you. Whatever you think at the end of the day is whatever you think. But if I know what I'm telling you is literally the truth because it's coming from me and the topic is me and somebody else, I could live with people not believing me or saying like, oh, come on, man. You know what I mean? Or saying, right. Well, you're still ducking YK. Whatever, man. Let it fly. Because at the end of the day, I know I'm literally not doing that. So that's cool. I'll let it rock. Go ahead.
All right. That's what it is on that. Let me know. What do you think about Ol' Red and Briz?
I think Briz is in trouble. If it's Smack Volume 1, Briz is in trouble. Briz has to rap. Don't get me wrong, he is a rapper, but he is way more of a performer and a deliverer of his words than he is like a cut, you know, rapper. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where there's not a lot of moments where you see Briz just going off with the lyrics. You know what I mean? Or like, you know, going off with singing and double entendres.
And
Ol'
Red,
Ol' Red's
on fire right now too, though.
Yeah, not saying all that has to be done. You know, Briz can still get by on his personality. Like I said, at the end of the day, it really comes down to, you know, the environment in the building is whatever, but I think YouTube is going to be, you know what I mean? If you want to get the better look, it's you know, Ol' Red is one of the greatest, man. Ol' Red is one of the top battlers of 2017. So he's going to be going nuts. Briz is bouncing back when that Caligo debacle.
I didn't like that battle. Tournament. That was trash.
That battle was terrible, man. Shit.
Terrible. It was terrible. It was terrible.
But you can't judge a person off his last performance. And obviously, Briz was one of the top battlers in 2017. So I'm not counting Briz out. But I'm saying, once again, if this is what this is, this is a very different event from any battle card that has ever went down. This is a very different event. It's a very different environment with very different requirements than a normal battle card or a normal event. So it's tough, man. It's really tough to judge these battles because, you know, at the end of the day, you're going off what these guys have been doing on stages that, you know what I mean, that they've been rocking on for years since they've been in a small, small area. So it's tough, man. It's going to be a dope battle, though. I got already taken it, though.
Be Magic and Av.
That might be Battle of the Year.
You serious?
For some reason, I feel like that's going to be Battle of the Year. That's the first thing I thought about when I thought about this that matchup. Like yesterday, I was thinking about it, and for some reason, I was like, that has all the potential to be a really, really classic.
That's if B Magic plays his part in a battle, because you know Av is going to be consistent. It's up to B Magic to play his part.
Yeah, I hope he does. I think that's something that a lot of people have been wanting to see. So there's going to be a lot of excitement, a lot of energy about them. They both carry themselves very old school. You know what I mean? They have, you know, that punching style is, you know, old school. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's a very up now. Obviously, B Magic, you know, B Magic, this is his home. You know, we're talking him punching in a small room. You know, that old smack B Magic, like that shit is crazy. And Av's time in that environment, as far as the smack, you know, B Magic has the advantage that he's literally done this before.
He does. That's true. That's very true.
He's in an era where we're trying to copy next week. And we're trying to, you know what I mean? We're trying to fulfill that you know, euphoric feeling of, you know, what it used to be back then. B-Magic did that. He did that. So he's definitely going to be cool. And, you know, Av.
He can't choke, though, man. He has a tendency to choke, though. His battle against Clone on bullpen. He tried to watch on pay-per-view and choke. Three rounds, right? Three rounds?
Yeah, this is a big thing. Hold on. This is another big thing. From what I'm hearing, the choke rule is in effect. You choke, you're done. You choke, round
up. Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing. Honestly, I don't even know that much about the event. I don't even know where it's at. You know what I'm saying?
Ored, you get busy too, my G. But what Mike is saying, Ored, you got a tendency to choke too, brother. So a lot of y'all cats on this card got a tendency, man.
Everybody plays their role, and I hope I do too. I'm not going to sit here like, you know, I'm the fucking principal, and you know what I mean?
Of course, you got to play your part, Mike.
This is going to be new for me. This is very intimidating to me, more intimidating than Shotgun Shug. I'm more intimidated by Smack Volume 1 than I'm intimidated by Shotgun Shug, and that's no shot at Shotgun. You know, it's a battle, but this is completely different. You have to put yourself in an era. But that's how serious I'm taking it. What I hope is, I really hope everybody takes it just as serious. I hope some of the bigger guys push that ego to the side and really bust their ass with these rounds and put their all into it. I really, really hope that happens. It'd be a great, like I said, great ending, you know, and if it goes right and we get like maybe two solid classic battles and a couple dope battles, this to me is
one of
the greatest years in battle rap, man, already. But if Smack Volume 1, man, if we take it home for the culture, man, you know what I mean? Salute to the RBE, the King of the Dots. Like, all the work we've been doing, man, it's just great. It's just absolutely great. And I just want to keep that positive shit going. And, you know, I hope we all kill it.
Okay.
Man. You know, this shit is for the culture.
What do you think about Danny Myers and Shine? It was supposed to happen on Traffic 3. Didn't happen. You know, there's stories.
I don't know. Danny Myers, it's gonna be a very unique style in that setting. K-Shine, like I said, man, you see, as soon as I think of K-Shine, I think fucking you know, at the record store, the fucking sneaker store with the mirror and the
T-Rock,
the glass,
Shine, goods.
T-Rock with the glass in the back showing the fucking city, man. Like, K-Shine's been doing this. And he's motivated, man. He's been making a lot of moves. You know what I mean? Just had a kid. Congratulations to him. You know, the baby's healthy. And you know, with the ESPN shit, it's, you know, he's been making wild moves. So hopefully he takes this just as serious as he's been taking a lot of his moves lately.
Now, hold on. Let me stop you right quick. Right there. Now, you just said something right now. Him having a child and now having other ventures outside of battle rap. This battle was supposed to happen on Traffic 3. Any concerns that the mind starts messing with you? And what about the material you had before? And I asked Danny Myers this a couple of days ago. He said he has to tweak some shit here and there because a lot of his bars was catered for the West Coast. So, you know, a lot of tweaking will be done.
That depends on how much K-Shine's material was really meant for just that environment or just that stage or just that card, how many times he might have mentioned Traffic 3 in his bars, how many times he made an L.A. reference, how many times he might have used an angle about Danny being in L.A. There might have been a lot of material that K-Shine has to scratch, but that was 2-3 weeks ago. More than enough, you know what I mean? I'm sure he doesn't have to rewrite every single round. I think K-Shine's going to come in there barking. I think K-Shine's going to be dangerous. I got him winning. I got him beating Myers 2-1.
Okay. JC and Twerk. Oh, can't wait to hear you guys.
Listen, man. Twerk. Twerk 3-0 if JC comes with that fucking T-shirt under the V-neck. Like a fucking 7-year-old.
Yo, I hated that shirt, though. I ain't gonna lie, JC. I really hated your shirt, man. Like, I really hated the fact that you had a shirt under there.
It doesn't hurt that JC is already, like, he's a short dude.
Right.
He's a little
dude, man.
So, like, oh, my God, bro.
It just took away from your bars, man. It just did, man.
Yo, honestly,
no, hold on.
Like,
before you go, Mike, before you go, is JC battling too much, in your opinion?
Man, all right. So I think JC is losing his fucking mind. I have no idea what he's doing.
On the road to Lux, man. That's what it's called, Mike. On the road to Lux.
No. he's leaving himself out there to get fucking bagged. And he's on the road to Lux. He's gotten caught slipping a lot of time, and for a lot of times,
he'll
Mac
a little bit.
I said this on Facebook Live. The thing with JC is it's going to get to a point, and I think it's already reached that point, and that's JC's fault. That the aura of what JC is doing starts to get some wear and tear, and people stop waiting to hear how amazing he's going to bend a sentence or bend a bar. And also with JC is, and what he's been doing lately, like, you got to do more than that. You have to do more than that. And JC is slowly showing us that that is the truth. T-Top dropped 30 on him. Tell me who is going to say
that's facts.
T-Top would beat him. You know what I mean? Big K, I thought, beat him. I thought Illmac, you know, he had a debatable with Illmac. And it got to a point with me where it's like, listen, you're no exception to oversaturation, sir. It doesn't matter if the culture is pushing you. The same culture that is going to push you will push you off a cliff, sir.
That's facts.
So why are you taking so many battles?
Is it almost a DNA effect?
No, because we're all, the whole culture is telling him he doesn't need to do this. The whole culture is saying, we want you versus Lux. Sit down and wait a little bit. Stir that up. Why are you going on a tour? After people get interested in you battling another person, why constantly keep rapping and leaving yourself open for a body shot or a right hook or a phantom punch? Because I feel like it got to the point where JC really started believing that he could just run through battle rappers at the end of the day, JC is just a battle rapper, man. I know we're really interested in what he's been doing with the words. I understand that. I get that, you know, a lot of people are excited about what he's been able to do as far as bars, as far as rounds, as far as bodies. Like, I get that. But I don't know. It might have gotten to his head.
Wow.
And at the end of the day, you have to realize that you are just a battle rapper, and anybody could take a L. It doesn't matter how you could rap.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you could come up with. And you're just – he's just showing us too much. He's showing himself too much. So he's got, what, 10 battles this year? He has like, what, 10 battles this year? Twerk will be what?
He's battled a lot, yeah. He's battled a lot, man.
10 battles?
RBE. Yeah, RBE, URL. Yeah, he's got a lot.
Yeah,
but hold on. You can make the same argument, because I had a conversation with somebody about New Jersey Twerk last week, and they made the observation, Mike, that since Twerk battled Dougie, he's been on every URL card.
Yeah, and you know, I think it needs to get to a point where the artist and the staff needs to know what's detrimental to rappers sometimes. And
yes. Yes, agree.
You know,
great point.
Twerk is so new. I mean, you know, at the same time that you could applaud him for Gnome and Summer Madness, I don't think Twerk – well, maybe – I don't know. I can't say I don't know if Twerk realized, but I don't think that people realize at the end of the day, it doesn't matter that you were on a stage. It matters what you did when you were on the stage. No one's ever going to look
big
back
difference.
At your career and go yo, do you remember that time where Twerk was on Summer Madness? No, no one's ever going to say that. They're going to judge you off of what you did on Summer Madness. So
yeah.
I tell a lot of people on the come up, like rookies and shit, like, don't look for the name. Look to, you know, what can you do when you're on that stage? So when you're not given time to really work on that material, and I don't know, some people could write, you know, really good shit in a three-week span. But, you know, you do get overused sometimes, man. It's a really stressful thing to do, the writing process. It's really tough.
I can imagine. I applaud you niggas, man. I can't do that shit with y'all do,
very,
man.
It's very time-consuming. It's a physical thing, too. It's a very heavily mental process that you have to work on every single day. So when the process is over and I finish a battle, the last thing I want to hear is that I'm on the next card a month from now. And then after that, the last thing I want to hear is, okay, we're going to get you on this card. We're going to get you on that card. Eventually, like JC, I'm going to slip up. Someone's going to slip up. There's going to be a day where nobody wants to hear that shit. And it doesn't matter what you could do with your pen. And I don't think JC understands that. As great as JC is, people make mistakes. And I don't think he realizes that it doesn't matter what you wrote sometimes. Maybe the crowd doesn't want to fuck with it. Maybe, you know, maybe YouTube doesn't want to fuck with it. Maybe they're just tired of the way that you keep doing things with words. Maybe they're tired of the fact that after every bar you stop and look at the crowd.
Yo, you was wild, OD. Yo, JC. You was wild OD in the fucking T-Top battle, fam. You was wild OD, though.
Wild OD versus Chess. He was wild OD with that versus Chess. He was wild OD with that versus
Nitty. Nitty.
The man with every single four bars. Nobody's stopping him. He's purposely stopping and giving that, like, that cocky look to the crowd and, like, that I'm fucking God
but
shit.
To play devil's advocate, though, isn't that a strategic move on his part if he's to be selling that, though? To play devil's advocate?
No, not if people like me are pointing out that bullshit. Not if there's people like me that are going to be like, no, sir, no, you rat. You keep rapping. I'm not going to fall for that.
Right.
So I'm not saying I didn't, I didn't hop the JC bandwagon. I always thought JC's been a great rapper, but I'm not about to do that. I'm not about to just follow this storyline that JC is a god and he's just running through everybody. He's got caught slipping. But okay, he's got caught slipping.
I think this is good for him, though, Mike.
Stop.
Would you agree, though, for him to go back to the small room, though? This is good for him that we can eliminate all that,
no.
You know, stopping after fourth ball?
No.
Nah?
No, no. Blog on Loaded Lux. Where's your blogs? Where's your blogs? Why are we the only ones talking about this? Why aren't you blogging? Blog on Loaded Lux. Call out Loaded Lux
right.
again. Start talking about Loaded Lux. Because what if Loaded Lux is sitting back like, if JC has a debatable with Twerk, I'm not battling JC. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think that?
Yeah, that did not cross my mind, though.
Did JC ever think that? Is anyone thinking that Lux is watching this? And Lux is going, ooh, I thought Big K just took him. Damn, T-Top just 30'd him.
T-Top,
had a debatable. You know what? JC's off the board. I don't want to battle JC no more. He's taking L's left and right. He's clearly shown he's not the person I am. JC's not.
That's
JC's
a good point, though,
doing,
Mike. Damn.
JC's not doing anything that Lux does to build up matchups. You got to play that role, bro. You got to be like Lux. Play that role. Be exclusive. Tell the people I'm not going on stage this year or next year until I get Lux now. Where is this motherfucker? I'm a fall back. Ball's in your court, Lux. But instead, he's doing all of this. And Lux might be looking at this like, what is this kid doing, bro? I'm not battling this dude. He out here battling.
Yeah.
And no offense to Twerk,
yeah.
But Lux might be like, what? He battling Twerk? Why is he? Motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Like, he out here battling rookies, and he battling Chef Trez, and he's battling Chess, and then Big K, and then Illmac, and then T-Top, and then Frack in the beginning of the year, and all these dudes before the year's even up. What if he doesn't want to battle him anymore because of this? I think that's something that JC needs to take into consideration. Because if December 9th rolls around, and it's another debatable versus New Jersey Twerk, and then it's another announcement that JC got another battle next month, are we still going to be doing this whole JC versus Lux shit, or are we going to be getting on JC like, bro, you got to start moving a little better, man?
Well, let me tell you, Mike, I did a show after Traffic 3. I did a show right after Traffic 3, and let me tell you, man, the fans was not trying to hear JC and Lux. They was not trying to hear that shit. Like, get the fuck out of here, 3. We're not trying to talk about that.
Yeah,
we better not.
I mean, because, listen, and this is a manifestation of JC's own doing. It's you're oversaturating yourself. If I take 5 battles in a year, I think I oversaturated. You're like, you're 10 battles into the year. You know what I mean? Even if you're 7 or 8 battles into the year, like, you're doing too much. I understand. Maybe you're just chasing checks. Maybe you just realized that you could write with a limited amount of time, and you could do all these battles, and you could rack up money every single month, every 2 weeks, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, is that more important than locking in something that a lot of people think you might not even be deserving in the first place? You know what I mean? There might be a lot of other people you could think of that, you know, might be next for Lux than JC. So the fact that we all brought that up and we all supported him, we all said, go battle Lux. And he said, sure, hold on 1 second. I'm just going to battle this guy, 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 this guy. You think when he turns back up and comes back and goes, okay, guys, I'm ready for Lux. We're all going to go. Bro, we said, look, why did you do nothing? Fucking battles, and you might have 4 L's. We don't want to see that no more. What are you doing, bro? What are you doing? Come on, man.
Because T-Top, do you remember T-Top, when T-Top found out he was battling Illmac a week before, I remember T-Top going on Twitter, Mike, and was like, oh, JC think it's a game. He's battling Illmac a week before me.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. and like I said, man, it comes back to that, man, T-Top will beat anybody in this bitch. JC will beat anybody. I'll beat anybody. Everybody's beatable. Everybody is beatable. And the more times you show yourself, you're going to get beat. You're going to lose the battle. So the thing that separates Lux from JC now is JC, he has multiple chinks in that armor that we put on him in the beginning of the year. We put a vest over him. and he ran into an AK firing ring. He ran into a firing ring. Now you coming back, you got bullet wounds. You got, you know what I mean? And Lux is sitting there with nothing, not a scratch, because Lux plays that role. To battle Lux, you need to match that aura. You need to also be that invisible force that you need to. You also need to be that shooting star that comes along once every 2 years. Because what you do is immaculate. Everything we've been hearing up until this point has been immaculate. So why keep knocking us over the head with it? We're gonna start reading between the lines. We're gonna start not seeing it for what we first saw it as. Because you just keep doing it. What makes Lux so amazing is that he has amazing material, but he only shows you that once in a blue moon. So when you get a Lux announcement, that shit is a worldwide, that the battle world sits down for that. And as great as people think Lux is, if Lux did the same thing, and call me crazy, but if Lux did the same thing as JC, and battled Hitman, then battled Verb, then battled Shotgun, then battled Daylight, then battled this guy. At the end of the year, you're not going to look at Lux the way you once did. Because he's going to walk out of that year with wounds. He's going to walk out of that year with a loss, with another loss, then with a debatable, maybe a clear win versus a rookie. You know what I mean? JC, when he beat Trez is not loaded Lux. Chess is not Lux.
Level.
Chess and Trez, no disrespect, they're not Big K, and Big K beat JC. Trez and Chess are not Ilmac, and Ilmac had a debatable. Trez and Chess are not T-Top to a certain extent. You know what I mean? T-Top is a more established. T-Top has more of an arsenal to whoop your ass, is more of a, you know, prepared person, is more of a real all-around artist that can switch it up. You don't know what he's going to come with. Every round's going to be different. You know what I mean? Real competition. And when JC, if you really think about it, has stepped toe-to-toe with that real competition, it hasn't looked that good. You can't say that he's walked away with a lot of clear W's against really established battle rappers. So
no, I can't say that's one. That's been a knock on JC's career, is when it's time to stomp with certain dogs that maybe have a notch over him. He's really struggled with certain individuals. Now, before we wrap it up, a great segue here. What do you think about Chess and Chef Trez?
Man, that's a real. That's a real important battle for both. It's a really important battle for both.
The loser got to jump, Mike.
if we're speaking, we just got off of JC. We just got off of Twerk, and Chess would fit that together right now, too.
Yeah, man.
I think I would love to meet up with Chess and have a conversation with him about battle rap, because I don't know. I personally think that he needs to take a little break. You know what? I don't even think it's take a little break. I think he needs to take his artistry more serious. I think he's a supreme talent.
Damn, Mike, that's kind of a question. Well, that's kind of a question. Then questioning his pen and his material. No, am I saying that?
No. I think this is what I mean. His material is great. He has the potential to be great. He's shown flashes of greatness, and he's only 18. But there's two things that are eventually going to happen. One, you're not going to be 18 anymore, and that's not going to be an aura around you where, like, oh, wow, look at this kid.
That can't be a cushion anymore,
Yeah, you'll eventually become, you know, it's free for all, every man for himself. You know, you a man now. Right. You know what I mean? Like, we don't
care.
Also, I do think, as talented as you are, you could also be immature. There are artists that are immature with their art.
Yes,
I'm not saying he's an immature person. I've spoken to Chess. I've met him. You know, I mean, I've spoken to him in person. He's a real good dude. I have a lot of respect for the dude. But I don't know if he understands
what you have to do as an artist and how you have to have a certain amount of respect for what you do. If I choke ever, and I've slipped up before, but I slipped up twice in my battle career, right? And this is all leads to what I need to say about chess. I'm going to tell you both instances. The first time I slipped up was the last four bars in the third round versus Daylight. The second time I ever slipped up in my career, 15, 16 battles. The second time and only time I've ever slipped up in my career was my last four bars versus Twerk, calling out Briz Ross. Now, the only reason why I forgot those bars are because I did not say them enough. That's it. I did not rehearse it enough. Talented as he is, as great of things that he is able to come up with, he needs to respect the rest of the process that you need to be a complete artist, a complete rapper, a complete battle rapper. Chess needs to respect that, and he needs to light a fire under his ass before these battles, and he really needs to dig deep and rehearse. And I understand. Listen, man, he's from the streets, man. I understand that, bro. Like I understand that he goes through a lot of shit. He needs to do what he needs to do. Life gets in the way. I understand that. But then that's another thing you need to weigh your options on, because Chess has the ability to be a star. Chess has the ability to take it outside of battle rap. You know what I mean? I think Chess is already a star in the battle world. So for that, you have so much more of a career ahead of yourself. I think that you could just tone it down and just really try to find yourself as a creator and you know, really, you know, concentrate on you know, the supreme talent that you have. With that being said, Chess is a very important battle. Very, very important battle for Chess.
I got Trez winning, Mike. I got Trez winning, man.
Trez?
Yeah, I got Trez.
You got Trez. Okay. I want to say Chess, but as of lately, I'd have to say Trez. Trez is another... I think Trez needs to he needs to switch it up, man. We're seeing the repetitiveness in his style. I don't think he's plateaued as far as what he's able to come up with, but you got to switch it up, man. You got to switch it up. There needs to be a new Trez next week. There does. I think these two guys. This is the most important. You know, the most important battle for me too. But I'm talking for. Career-wise and going forward, these two, you know, it's all on the line. It's all on the line, and not saying it's make or break, but, you know, that impression that you leave at the end of your battle, it has to be a good impression.
All right. Mike, man, I appreciate rocking me, my brother, for real, man. Drop a lot of knowledge tonight, Mike. I ain't gonna hold you. I can't wait to put this shit out, man.
Hey, man.
I appreciate you, Mike, man.
Appreciate you three always, man.
You're ready, my brother. Easy, man.
All right,
yo, be good. That's what it is, man. My guy Mike motherfucking P, man. PSA motherfucking podcast. One!